Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome tonight to the Light of Truth radio broadcast with Michael Oldea.
And yes, this is the Light of Truth radio broadcast. I am your host, Michael Oldea. This is what they call a cold open, but that's okay. Here we are. I must forewarn you, this is a recording. So although I sound like I'm live and in person, this particular program was recorded one day prior, because by the time you hear this, I will be on the road and unable to do the program live. There is a lot to talk about. Things have been happening at the speed of light, as it were, in this nation. And to see how some people choose to act in civil society, to see what some people choose to pursue as far as how they want to be perceived, let's put it that way, by other people, is not just disappointing, but downright scary. We've entered into this era of victim mentality. We've entered into this era where it's popular, it's hip, it's cool to be a victim. And for the life of me, I can't understand how anybody with any sense would want to be a victim or play the victim, or as is the case with the most recent controversy. And I laugh because it's just the hilarity doesn't stop. People who actually arrange for their own hate crime in order to claim victimhood. In case you don't know what I am talking about, there is an actor who apparently wanted to be a victim so much. He apparently wanted to be the victim with such pathos and passion that he paid two Nigerian gentlemen to beat him up, pour bleach on him apparently, call him names, at least that's what he says, and then put a noose around his neck. And of course, rather than say that it was two Nigerian gentlemen whom he paid to do this, he blamed Trump supporters, saying they were white men wearing MAGA hats, just waiting to see a black man in downtown Chicago to yell, "This is MAGA country." I've written a couple of articles about this as the situation progressed. And not to toot my own horn, as it were, but I think they were spot on, both the first and the second one. And I want to go through them just a little bit, just to contextualize how this whole thing progressed. In case some of you don't know, I have started posting articles to Facebook. I know. I finally started fiddling with Facebook. And to those of you that sent me friend requests over low these many months, my apologies, I didn't know how to see them. So now I'm accepting a bunch of friends. I didn't know I knew that many people. I've got more friends on Facebook than I know in real life, but here we are. So yeah, go check out our my Facebook page and see the articles that I've been posting recently. Apparently they're hitting the mark, as some would say. It's a mixture of I guess social commentary, looking at the world through the prism of the prophetic and through the prism of understanding exactly the times that we're living in. We are living especially dangerous times. And we're seeing how easily an entire nation can be manipulated. We're seeing how easily, how readily, with the help of the media and the propagandists, an entire nation can be all a flutter over something that never took place. Please understand this. This never happened. The young man who claimed a homophobic racist attack was never homophobically or racially attacked. He paid someone $3,500. Actually, he paid two guys $3,500 or $4,000 a piece to tune him up. And you know what? I don't think he got his money's worth, because I know a few fellas that for a couple of hundred bucks will tune you up real good. So $4,000 a head for a swollen eye and a bruised rib, I think you got took. But this is the first article that I wrote on the subject, and it was before this whole thing blew up. It was before it was discovered that the young man or the actor staged his own beating and racist, homophobic attack. And look, I knew this thing was the farce the day he described his attackers. As I wrote in one of my articles, the only thing that he left out was that they were toothless and were wearing overalls. I mean, this is the way you see someone that you detest. This is the way you see someone you abhor, someone that you think of as less than you, because you can't honestly, factually think of anyone in those parameters. I'm sorry, it just doesn't happen. So the first article I wrote was on February 15th of 2019, and it was titled "Sometimes They're Not." And I started out by saying that sometimes things are exactly as they seem. Those are the easy times, wherein you need no wisdom, no discernment. You don't need much to reach a conclusion based on the evidence at hand. If it's freezing outside and someone's sitting on a street corner barefoot, chances are they either can't afford a pair of shoes or they got robbed of their shoes, but whether the former or the latter, they need shoes. Other times, however, things are not as they seem. I remember a story I heard of an overeager faith healer who took a situation at face value and ended up with egg all over his face. As the story goes, there was a line of individuals waiting to get prayed for by this particular faith healer. And as a middle-aged woman stepped up to be prayed for, the faith healer thundered, "I know the Lord will heal your skin cancer this very day, sister. I know it as sure as I am standing here." Now, the woman took a sharp breath and said, "What skin cancer? Do you know something I don't?" "That on your face," the faith healer said. The woman felt around her face until she happened upon the thing the faith healer was pointing at. She pinched it, removed it from her face, and promptly popped it into her mouth. "Oh, that? That's a raisin my daughter stuck to my face. I need prayer for my arthritis," the woman said. Then there are those special times when what you hear is so ludicrous, so out of place, so improbable, that you just have to call it out, even at the risk of being labeled a hater or a doubter or someone who doesn't believe victims or some other trope they are yet to invent to pressure people into not voicing dissent, no matter how far-fetched what they hear is. If I were to tell you that I was walking through Dallas, Texas, and I got assaulted by two pale, thin men wearing bicycle shorts and male feminist t-shirts yelling "fat, fat, fatty" at me and telling me that this was vegan country after hanging a pork sausage around my neck, you'd have every right to be skeptical. Too many variables in that story don't make sense. Too many things seem out of place. See, Dallas, Texas is as much vegan country as Chicago is MAGA country. This is one of those things that nobody really dug deeper into. Nobody wanted to discuss. Nobody wanted to point out. 2 o'clock in the morning in downtown Chicago, during a polar vortex, and coincidentally, two white men wearing MAGA hats start yelling, "This is MAGA country," and attack a actor who happens to be African-American and of the homosexual proclivity. So, And like I said, there's as much a chance as someone wearing bicycle shorts yelling, "This is vegan country in Dallas, Texas," which is the heart of barbecue land, God bless barbecue, as there was this happening in Chicago. And I continued the article and I said, yet something just as improbable was said to have happened in Chicago a couple of weeks ago. Nobody ever questioned it or pointed out the holes and inconsistencies in the story that made it look like a half-eaten slice of Swiss cheese. We all went along with it, a chorus of sympathetic souls not allowing for the very real possibility that some individuals are so eager to claim victimhood, they're willing to stage a hate crime in order to do so. And I need us to take a breath, to take a minute, to take a second, and let that sink in for just a little bit. Some people are so overeager to claim victimhood that they're willing to stage a hate crime in order to do so. And this is exactly what happened. This man who the police now wants to re-interview because, the two young men he paid to hang a noose around his neck and beat him came forth and said, "Yeah, he gave us some money." Oh, they're Nigerian, by the way. So they're very dark-skinned white MAGA supporters. And the thing that bothers me to no end, the thing that should be bothering you, is how nobody took the time to logically assess this whole thing. Nobody took the time to go from point A to point B and go, all right, something stinks here. This is so improbable, it's ludicrous. You know, at some point, you got to call it. Now, the article continues and it says, "We seem to have forgotten that we were exhorted to test all things, as we've seemingly forgotten so many of the other warnings peppered throughout the Bible. Because of our forgetfulness, we do things we ought not to do. We do not do things we ought to do. Then we sit on the sidelines, deflated and disillusioned, wondering why there is no forward momentum." And that was pretty much the brunt of my article. And I wrote this at the tail end of my two daughters having the flu, along with my wife. So it has been a very eventful few days in the Baldia household. I've heard enough coughing and wheezing and woken up enough times in the middle of the night to apply cold compresses and other things that I'm looking forward to summer when there is no flu. Let's put it that way. So this is one of the big things that happened this past week. A hate crime hoax was revealed for what it is. Now, in case you were wondering, yes, indubitably, without equivocation and with the certainty of a man obsessed, Bernie Sanders is once more running for the presidency of these United States. I don't know who's nuttier, Bernie or his supporters, but they both scare the stuffing out of me. Now, we all know that Bernie looks like that crazy old uncle you keep locked in the basement because, you know, you're embarrassed of him. But Bernie didn't have a real job until he was 40, and when he turned 40, he became mayor of some dinky town in his state. So the only thing that Bernie has ever known is the teat of government. If you don't want to be solicited, if you don't want to exert yourself, if you want to sail through life doing little of nothing and still making good money, you go into politics in America. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is making upwards of $160,000 for being the nutburger that she is. Because people, even nuttier than her, saw fit to play a joke on the rest of the nation and vote her into Congress. But yes, Bernie's ready for his revolution. He's ready for his 15 minutes. He's going to lead the nation down the path of socialism and starvation and genocide, because if anyone can do it, it's Bernie at 77. As of yet, dear friends, I see absolutely no one running on the Democratic ticket that could even come close to beating Donald Trump at this point. Things may change. Things often do. But as it stands, all things being equal, I just don't see it. So there's currently, 873 people running for the Democratic ticket. So it ought to be a fun summer. It should be interesting as they start to jab and prod and punch at each other, because as the old saying goes, if you're a fan of the 80s, you will know where this comes from. There can be only one. Indubitably, there can be only one. Right now, the field is wide open, and they're trying to outdo the nutty. They're trying to outdo the extreme positions that they're willing to take. And so it's going to be a very interesting year. But I just hope there's still enough people with a modicum of sanity who will see virtually everyone running on the Democratic side for the communists that they are. Now, back to the articles. I know you were very excited to hear the next one. And this one I put out this morning because it's all coming to a head. The story is unraveling. The young man and his tears are no longer credible. And the reason this matters, and the reason I chose to open with this and talk about it, and we'll continue to talk about it for some time today, is the potentiality of what could have been. The next article begins thusly. I was 17 when the Rodney King verdict was handed down. Coincidentally, I was also living in Southern California. I remember the fires and I remember the violence, but most of all, I remember a construction truck driver by the name of Reginald Denny, who was beaten to within an inch of his life as retaliation for the verdict, even though the man had nothing to do with it and was simply driving his truck filled with sand to a plant in Inglewood. Now, I know everybody remembers Rodney King. Very few people remember Reginald Denny. I do, because I saw it happening live on television back then. They pulled the man out of his truck and beat him so viciously, he had permanent brain damage because of a verdict. I continue with the article and say this. Recently, an actor who felt the limelight slipping or wanted more publicity or just hated Trump voters faked an attack on himself that included bruised ribs and noose, an attempted lynching, and the requisite homophobic and racist slurs that complete the macabre scene. Supposedly, this was all carried out by two Trump supporters, evidenced by their red MAGA hats and their yelling out that this is MAGA country in downtown Chicago at 2 a.m. during a polar vortex. And yet, every pundit didn't bother questioning, didn't bother going, hey, this seems a bit improbable. I don't mean to be a doubter. I don't mean to say you are a liar, sir. But this seems a little fishy. Anyway, article continues. It was when I first heard the description of the two alleged attackers that I knew this was all a farce. The way the two alleged attackers were described was like a caricature of what you supposed someone might be like if you saw them through the prism of utter disdain. The only thing missing from the description was missing teeth and overalls, but since it was below freezing, they just might have been wearing overalls underneath their jackets. The reason this story matters, the reason it is important, the reason we can't let every media pundit who pushed this as a homophobic racist attack off the hook so readily is because of what could have been, what could have occurred, what could have happened just because an overprivileged entitled actor decided that he wanted to play the part of a victim, even if he had no reason to. He had to invent attackers out of whole cloth and make them out to be white Republican Trump voters. Look, the story stank from the beginning. And if there was any journalistic integrity left in America, someone would have called it out from the jump. But since there isn't, everyone piled on, and for a few days, every race-baiting poverty pimp was out in full force, talking about a modern-day lynching and how this entire country is irredeemably racist to its very core. They didn't just try to stoke the flames of division and pit blacks and whites against each other. They threw gas on them, insisting that we had somehow been teleported back to the time of slavery and wholesale lynchings. Given the context, imagine what could have been. Given how the media drove the narrative of this story, imagine how easily we could have had another Reginald Denny or two or five or 500. Innocent people living their lives, then summarily used like a piñata as payback and retaliation for the supposed attempted lynching of a talentless actor. With all the pundits, reporters, race baiters, poverty pimps, and overpaid pampered actors coming out in full force, decrying this lynching and this attack, seeing it for what it is, will they now apologize for the words they spoke? Will they now apologize for the violence they attempted to incite? Will they now apologize for the broad brushing of 60-odd million people as hateful and homophobic racists? Likely not. Why? Because they're never called out. They're never called to account. And they're never held accountable for the things that they say. Maybe it's time. Maybe it's past time. You see, this time the nation was lucky. Violence did not erupt. Innocent people didn't have their heads caved in. Homes were not burnt, and businesses were not destroyed. The truth came out in time to avoid all of that. But what about the next time? Or the time after that? What about the next hoax and the next alleged racist, homophobic attack, replete with noose and bruises and Al Sharpton demanding justice for this undeniable act of racism with steroids? How many more of these can we avoid before one of them lands center mass and cities burn anew? By the same token, how many more of these hoaxes need to unfold before the little boy who cried wolf syndrome takes full effect and we fail to believe even those who have been victimized in some form or fashion? And those were my two articles regarding this entire drama. The fact that every journalist went along with the story, even though there were many reasons to be doubtful or at least question it, shows you in full and living color that these people want it to be so. They needed to be so. Understand that when they report on a Trump supporter being violent towards a homosexual or an African American or anybody else, they do it with such relish because they want it to be true. They desire it to be true beyond human desire even. And this is why every time one of these hoaxes gets exposed, these people run for cover. Because if it would have gone the other way, and if the story would have been true, and this man really would have been attacked by Trump supporters, it would have been nonstop, 24/7, the only thing that you would hear about. Now that it's been exposed for the farce that it is, everybody's going on to something else. Everybody's finding a new story to talk about because it doesn't fit their narrative anymore. Look, this is how we know how corrupt and polluted the current mainstream news is. They have a narrative and they have an agenda. It ought not to be so with the news. You're supposed to report. That's the only thing you're supposed to do. You're not supposed to try to massage the story. You're not supposed to try to steer the narrative. You're supposed to report. Now, I've also written extensively on the dangers of a young lady by the name of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who is a congresswoman from New Jersey. And new things have come to light that are very, very interesting. Because apparently she's not just a loon all out on her own. Madam Cortez has very rich, very powerful donors. One of them being, guess. I'll let you guess. Soros, the man who wants to bring down Western civilization, Jorge Soros. But he's not Spanish, so I'll call him George. So I'm going to backtrack a little bit, read you an article I wrote about Madam Cortez, and then we'll get into the newest revelation that this is not just some bartending ditz that got lucky and got into Congress. She was groomed by Soros and three other organizations whose singular desire is the destruction of these United States. So let's get to it. On February 9th, I wrote this article called No Laughing Matter. The latest darling of both the media and the left has proven, time again, that she is certifiable. In layman's terms, she's nuttier than a metric ton of squirrel droppings, and that's being nice. It's easy to make fun of what she says. It's easy to poke holes in her vision of utopia. But just because it's easy, it doesn't mean we should be flippant about her intentions or miss the big picture point of someone like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez arriving on the scene. I'm sure you've heard a lot of adjectives used to describe the new poster child of old communism, but one you've likely not heard as yet is dangerous. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is dangerous. The reason she's dangerous is not because she wants to do away with all cow flatulence in order to save the planet, or because she wants to pay people unwilling to work a basic income, or because she wants to tear down every building in America just to rebuild it to energy-specific specs, or even because she wants to do away with air travel, cars, and every means of transportation not electric and replace them with a rail system. The reason that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is dangerous is because she is a true believer. She is an idealist. And to idealists, to true believers, the ends justify the means. Throughout history, we've seen the rise of true believers and the havoc they wreaked upon the innocent, the unsuspecting, in their pursuit of reaching their desired goal. We're not talking tiny blips on the radar here. We're talking millions of dead left in their wake, an entire continent ravaged by war, destruction, starvation, and genocide. I know. No way a petite former bartender could possibly be so ruthless as to upturn the lives of some 300 million people just because she thinks cow flatulence will be the end of us. I'm sure that's what they said about a young man the first time he started making speeches in beer halls. Look, in a sane world, we could laugh off this lunacy and we can go back to our normal lives. Today's world, however, is anything but sane. And more young people are swooning over the idea of from each according to their ability to each according to their need. The reason that they're so enamored with this particular tenet of Marxism, because that's what it is because they have yet to realize that it is not the individual who determines their own need, it is a bureaucrat who will never have to conform to the standards they themselves set forth for everyone else. On the flip side, if those with abilities know that what they produce will simply be confiscated and redistributed to others whose only ambitions in life are video games and spicy Doritos, well, let's just say they may rethink living up to their potential or making full use of their abilities. If you do happen to be young and enamored with the idea of socialism, which is a nice way of saying communism, before putting on your Socialism Rocks t-shirt, and the Che Guevara beret, ask someone who's actually lived it how wonderful it was, and just for a second, ask yourself why so many who live in communist countries are willing to risk life and limb just to get out. Maybe, just maybe, it's not the utopia they're telling you it is. On the bright side, if somehow this lunacy does gain traction and these new old ideas are implemented, we won't need a wall on the southern border anymore. And it's highly likely that the Canadians will show us just how fast a nation can erect a barrier when confronted with the prospect of millions of individuals flocking to its shores like rats fleeing a sinking ship engulfed in flames. Now, having said that, having laid that foundation, let's go back to the latest regarding Miss Ocasio-Cortez and the confirmation that she is a dangerous person. Not only because she's an idealist, but because she's being groomed by some of the nastiest people on the planet. So the article is from Breitbart, and it says this: the Green New Deal blueprint introduced by Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez was crafted by three far-left organizations and is being pushed by a coalition of well-funded professional progressive groups and known leftist agitators. Some of the organizations helping to promote the Green New Deal have ties to financing from billionaire George Soros and trace their roots to such radical groups as Occupy Wall Street and Black Lives Matter. Earlier this month, Ocasio-Cortez posted an 11-page Google document in the form of a non-binding legislative resolution that has become the most authoritative version of the Green New Deal, a broad outline for the current conception of the socialist-style plan. Ocasio-Cortez and her Green New Deal resolution, introduced along with Senator Ed Markey. By the way, if Ed Markey's your senator, be embarrassed. Be very, very embarrassed. Has already been endorsed by more than 45 Democratic representatives. So 45 people who were elected to office actually endorsed this lunacy. Think on that. Let that permeate. 45. The deal received high-profile endorsements from Senators Elizabeth Warren, Cory Booker, and Bernie Sanders. What do all three of these people have in common? They're all running for the Democratic ticket. They all want to be president. They signed on to this. They endorsed this nonsense. Understand that this would bankrupt the nation. And if you've never stood in a bread line, well, you will. Now, the Green New Deal seeks, as the New Yorker recently put it, nothing less than a total overhaul of our national infrastructure. The utopian deal demands 100% of all buildings in the U.S. convert to clean energy, calls for the removal of all greenhouse gases from the entire atmosphere, and includes such non-green clauses as a federal jobs guarantee while protecting the right of all workers to organize and unionize. It also pledges affordable, safe, and adequate housing for all people of the United States. The wealth-spreading deal aims to virtually eliminate poverty in the United States and to make prosperity, wealth, and economic security available to everyone participating in the transformation. That's how communism was sold every single time. And every single time, it has failed miserably, unequivocally. There is absolutely no metric by which you could look at socialism or communism and say, hey, they succeeded here. Venezuela, anyone? Have you heard what's happening there? Now, the Green New Deal was crafted by Ocasio-Cortez along with three groups: the Sunrise Movement, Justice Democrats, and a group calling itself the New Consensus. The New Yorker reported the document was written over a single December weekend by the staff of the freshman representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and three like-minded progressive groups, none of which existed 2 years ago. The Sunrise Movement, a grassroots climate organization, the Justice Democrats, which recruits and supports progressive candidates, and an upstart policy shop called The New Consensus. Besides helping to write the deal text, the Sunrise Movement has been the central progressive organization lobbying the Democratic Party to implement the Green New Deal. Sunrise markets itself as an army of young people seeking to make climate change an urgent priority across America and the corruption and the corrupting influence of fossil fuels on our politics and elect leaders who stand up for the health and well-being of all people. Is it just me or are young people getting nuttier since they legalized pot? You can tell that this was written by people who've never held down a job, who were spending mommy and daddy's money, who know not anything of value regarding capitalism, regarding economy, or it's just astounding to me that these people are given voice and that senior senators like Ed Markey, people who are hoping to be president one day, like Elizabeth, I may be an Indian, but probably not Warren, and Spartacus himself, they endorsed this lunacy. Sunrise co-founder Vershini Prakash, sounds American, described his organization's expansive goal for 2020. We, along with our partners, are going to be attempting to build the largest youth political force this country has ever seen. Now, go back about 2 years. If you can find the archives of this radio program, if not, I'm sure they're somewhere on YouTube. I told you that the next generation that was up and coming knows not how to value freedom, knows not how to value the blood that was shed. And the people that gave everything in order to keep this nation free. And it's not that they don't know, it's that they don't care to know. That's the thing that gnaws at me. It's not that they don't know. It's that they don't care to know. They place absolutely no value on the history of this nation. They place absolutely no value on the men who died to defend it. They're willing to throw away what is undeniably the greatest experiment in the history of the world for something as demonstrably broken as socialism. If you're not concerned, you should be. Because I do believe that these people's intentions to build the largest youth political force this country's ever seen are true and factual, and they will follow through. Now, Sunrise was in part inspired by the activism of Occupy Wall Street, Black Lives Matter, and, of course, the radical immigration group United We Dream. What do you dream of? Good question. Sunrise took the national spotlight last month when Ocasio-Cortez joined some 200 of the movement's protesters to temporarily occupy Nancy Pelosi's office to peddle the Green New Deal. Sunrise engaged in that direct action campaign alongside Justice Democrats. In December, Sunrise said that it raised less than $1 million, mostly from foundations and grassroots donors. It is not known how much Sunrise has since raised. Inside Philanthropy reported on donations to Sunrise from the Rockefeller Family Fund. So I hope you're starting to see a picture developing. I hope you're beginning to understand where the people behind the curtain want to steer the nation. You have George Soros. You have the Rockefeller Family Fund giving money the people whose singular desire is to turn this nation into a socialist nation, meaning communist. The group raised just under $1 million in 2018 between its 501c3 and 501c4 entities and received early support from a set of core funders that have since stuck with it. Wallace Global Fund, which was instrumental in the fossil fuel divestment campaign, funds Sunrise, as did the Rockefeller Family Fund, one of the smaller foundations associated with the oil family, and the Winslow Foundation, run by Ren Winslow Worth, who is married to former politician Tim Worth. Institutional funders made up about 55% of his 2018 budget, with 35% coming from individual donors and the rest from nonprofit partners. To promote the deal, Sunrise sponsored an activist campaign called Operation Green New Deal Blitz. Co-sponsored with Sunrise include 350.org, Organic Consumers Association, People's Action, CPD Action, and Justice Democrats. So the lunatics have banded together, and they're being funded by people with deep pockets. This should be a concern. This should be a very real, very tangible concern. If it's not, then you are not understanding what these people are playing at. Put it all together. Everything that we've been talking about for the last 50 minutes, and understand where we're being steered. We're being steered towards a point of conflict. And these people hope that they can turn that point of conflict into unabashed socialism. I know I haven't talked about him for some time, but I always remember what God showed my grandfather. And someone mentioned it to me today while we were discussing how easily this whole hoax lynching could have exploded. How easily it could have become something very, very ugly. It has been foretold that the judgment of America would begin with an internal revolution. It has been foretold that there would be civil unrest in this country. And this individual that I was speaking with shared my sentiment that up until a few years ago, they couldn't see how that would play out. Now you look at the landscape, you look at what's happening, and you could see a dozen different ways in which the powder keg can be lit. I've warned you as often as I could. It's only going to get worse from here. This is why you must have your wits about you. This is why you must know what you believe and why you believe it. This is why you must stand against darkness. Because the other side is well-funded. Their purpose is very clear. And they despise you for your freedom. What's worse, they despise you for your love of freedom. Think on that. Because you love freedom, you are hated. Because you love freedom, you are despised. Because you love freedom, you are an impediment to the utopia that people like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and her ilk are envisioning for this nation. Where will it go from here? Well, I think that it will have a lot to do with whether or not the church stands up. It'll have a lot to do with whether or not the silent majority stays silent no longer. It'll have a lot to do with whether or not we see the danger for what it is. It'll have a lot to do with whether or not we're willing to exert ourselves, to stand in the gap, to make our voice heard, to be willing to endure the criticism of the godless because we know that we're doing what we're doing for the right reason. Do you realize that this young man almost got away with it? That for the longest time, nobody was questioning the lunatic story that he was putting forth. He was hashtagged and interviewed and embraced and, oh my, so much outpouring of sympathy. And the people who ought to be the most skeptical, to question, to investigate, sat there and crossed their arms. This is America in 2019. Oh yes, this is America in 2019. Indeed, this is America in 2019, where unhinged individuals fake their own hate crime, hoping to incite violence against Trump supporters. This is 2019 in America. And I'm wondering if this young man will be held to account. Something tells me he won't. Because even now, they're trying to justify why he did what he did. He wasn't hugged enough. He got a nasty letter in the mail. He just didn't think there was enough focus on lynchings. Whatever it was. You still faked a hoax. You faked a lynching and a beating, and you almost got away with it. Because the people that were supposed to ask didn't. They failed in doing their jobs. So the next time you hear that somebody got beaten and they got a noose put around their neck or whatever else, take it with a grain of salt. Don't jump to conclusions. Don't demonize and criminalize people in mass because of something you heard. Wait, see where it goes, and then make up your mind. So here we are, America 2019. People desire victimization so much that they shell out $8,000 for somebody to beat them and pour chlorine on them. God help us. If you want to be a victim that bad, that you're willing to go to those lengths, God help us. Anyway, this has been our program. I thank you for joining us. I am sorry I could not be with you live, but next week, Lord willing, I will be here live and in living color. And maybe we'll discuss another hoax by then. God bless you. Thank you for joining us. Gino, it's all yours.
Yeah, Lord, help us. You know, you laid it out very well that the lunatic fringe is trying to take power, and they are getting power. And you're right, what generation? The drug, you know, the legalization of marijuana and the youth of today. You look at the electorate, how do they vote people like that in? It's a sad, sad state of affairs for the U.S. And if these radical agendas would get any kind of, you know, what I've called ability to take place or to be voted in, we would be in more major trouble than we're already in. And the whole Soros desire to bring down the democracy and the values that we hold dear as a nation would be disaster. And as Mike said, we're headed that way. These candidates are getting footholds on people's minds, and people's minds are getting footholds in who gets elected in office. It's a two-way street, and you take God long enough out of public school and colleges, and this is what you get: humanistic, secular, anti-God thought, and stupidity of the highest level. So thank you for tuning in to the Light of Truth, and keep us in prayer. As Mike said, this broadcast will be played Thursday night, and so get the word out. We'll put it up on YouTube as well, and have a good night. God bless.